Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm happy to be back. I guess I'm troubled. Troubled by a little something or other. So
Okay. I mean, it is, you know, it is that time of the year. There's a lot of holidays. The weather is changing, and especially, you know, at our age, that means a lot of creaks.
Yeah.
And a lot of cracks.
A lot of creaks in the night.
Yeah, a lot of jump scares.
Woo.
Of like, boo. Having a life means you need money to pay for.
Ah!
Ah, taxes.
All right, I'm getting too scared. Between this and all the ghoulish creatures and critters roaming the night outside in this late October, early November era, this is all too much for my delicate constitution.
You know what, when I'm feeling a little stressed out about the world, I like to take a nice trip down to the old Cineplex. It's got a nostalgic value to me. You know, maybe play the crane game to try to win a little Sonic plush in the lobby.
Yeah.
You know, fine. What's in theaters right now that everyone's so excited about?
Well, you know, I had that thought too. I thought I'd kind of go down to the old Cinemataplex.
Mm-hmm.
And see, they got this new movie, a new horror film that I hadn't heard about before. It's called Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, you know what? My cousins and my nephews and my Zoomer coworkers love Freddy Fazbear.
Yeah. I hear all sorts of things about him.
Markiplier.
Yeah.
Matthew Pathew.
What a nice young man, a nice seeming young man, that Matthew Pathew.
Yeah. I heard that he met the Pope and he gave him a copy of Undertale.
Oh. Yeah, Freddy Fazbear has so many characters. It has Michael Ashton, Fring Trap,
Bonnie, Toy Bonnie, Girl Bonnie, Chicken, Sexy Chicken.
So, listen, I think I'm getting old. I think I'm off the ball culturally here.
Did you not like Freddy's Fazbear?
I didn't like Freddy's Fazbear, his fast adventure. I didn't understand anything that was happening. I didn't know really the characters. I mean, like, I don't know. I can't claim complete sort of ignorance. I play a video game from time to time here and there. I'm aware of, like, I think I've watched gameplay of, like, the first Five Nights at Freddy's game before.
Okay.
So I know there is a fox with a hook and yeah. who everybody is very hot and bothered about, apparently, I guess, for some reason. And like a duck and a rabbit and the other guy.
Freddy himself.
Frederick himself.
Frederick. And also Golden Freddy, who was in the movie, if you noticed.
I did not notice.
So
I did not.
Great example of how the film was trying to be for all audiences, but also kept forgetting that it was for all audiences, is that they have Freddy and they have Golden Freddy. So if you noticed, there was five kids and what appeared to be only four animatronics.
Oh, I guess that's true.
And that's because the fifth one is Golden Freddy, which, unless you know what Golden Freddy is, really just looks like Freddy Fazbear, but like slightly different color.
Yeah. Didn't notice.
Yeah, I didn't notice that either, actually, despite also watching the movie and being familiar with it, until later someone was like, yeah, and then this kid was like Golden Freddy, and I was like, Golden Freddy was in it? I was like, oh yeah, the one that like goes to her house.
Oh my god, I barely remember that.
I guess that's the one that has the power to just leave, which is like in the video game, Golden Freddy is the like rare shiny variant jump scare that will just appear in your office.
Hmm. Okay. That's new information for me.
Yeah. The part when there's the words "it's me" written on the mirror, that's his thing, is when he appears, the words "it's me" will flash on the screen.
Okay. Great. So I don't know nothing about all that. Yeah. I didn't know is the cupcake this prominent? They really heavily featured the cupcake.
I don't think the cupcake is very prominent in the Freddy series. It definitely, from what I remember, is not a separate being from Chica. I maybe it's like the mascot for this one, the silly funny mascot.
Okay.
But it's not. It doesn't usually roam around unattached from her.
Right. Yeah, and it's kind of like a little gremlin.
Yeah. Yeah, they can send it to navigate into levels that they can't due to their size.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? What do you think about this whole thing? Do you know more than me about these fucking games?
I know a pretty decent amount. And okay. I saw with a friend who knew more and was able to answer questions. And I guess to the film's credit, there's a lot of the like, ooh, like you point at the screen, like Leonardo DiCaprio in the film.
Yeah.
That just completely flew over my fucking head because I don't know that much about the Freddy series either. Like the dream theory thing that he keeps talking about, that's like a fandom thing.
Okay, interesting.
Like I guess it's like a fandom thing that like the first four games are a dream in the head of either Mike, who is William Afton's son, or his other brother who got his head bit off by Freddy.
Okay.
But I didn't know that. I thought they just made something up for the movie called Dream Theory.
Hmm.
I think Dream Theory is like a big thing MatPat pushes, which is, and then he has this silly little cameo. Was like that and the song at the end were like the two things where I was like, okay, this is like, this is a swing for the fences fandom thing.
Yeah.
But I guess everything else is a lot more subtle, so to speak. You know, yeah. It's like, ah, that character is wearing a shirt and it's one of the mini games from the third game. Or like, ah, the pretzel stand at the mall's mascot is the rainbow from the rainbow mini game. When he says the line, "I'll be back, I always come back," which like, was a weird line for him to say, because it's like, what do you mean you'll always be back? Have you gone somewhere before?
that's your first time coming. You haven't even come back yet once. You came for the first time and you were there.
You were alive. And then you got a job as a career counselor. What do you mean you always come back?
So weird and bizarre. Whatever. Just stupid. I love Matthew Lillard. His character is really stupid.
I wish so much that he was in the movie more.
Yeah.
Very funny that they got him to play the man behind the slaughter, William Afton, as this like big stunt cast. And then like in like as the movie's release came closer, they had to be like, he's playing this guy. Don't ask us any questions about it. Like okay, so he's really like, okay, so this guy he's playing is secretly William Afton, because you made a big deal that he's like, look at the stunt cast we got, and then we had to be like, just kidding, never mind, ha ha, he don't think about it,
right? Yeah.
Also, as like a friend put it, it's like, yeah, it's really funny to be like, I wonder who this character is. The only named character who is not a direct reference to every other, like anything, any other character in the game series.
Mm-hmm.
Funny detail also, Vanessa, who in the character in the game series is not from, let me look something up real quick. Who is not from not William Afton's daughter or whatever. That's new lore. But she is from one of the newer games. I think Security Breach or the VR one. One of those. But the reason that's funny to me is because she is from a game that came out like several years after this movie went into development, which means that she was just a super last minute addition.
I don't even know how to like trick my brain to convince my brain to even caring.
So she is from At the earliest, but I'm pretty sure she's actually just from Security Breach. That's the one that came out like 2 years ago.
Okay.
This movie was in development in 2015. This movie has been in development for 7 years. And in the last 2 years, they were like, fuck, wait, we gotta put Vanessa in this. Beloved character, Vanessa.
Right. Yeah, they kind of hot potatoed it to different directors. Gil Kenan was, I think, the first one who is responsible for Monster House and then a bunch of other dumbass shit. And then it was going to be a Chris Columbus picture, which would have been insane.
That would have been so... Imagine how much worse this movie would have looked if it was Christopher Columbus. Like... That man is the most drive-by director I've ever fucking seen. This movie would have just... This movie already didn't look very good.
Right.
It looked fine. But it would have looked way worse.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I could see his version. I guess.
I wish we could have seen any version that wasn't the one we got.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Kind of with you.
Full disclosure.
Yes.
Any excitement, any tentative, maybe this will be like, you know what, it's been in development for a long time. It's Blumhouse trying something really crazy and weird. You know, even if it's bad, like Halloween, the Halloween reboots, maybe it'll at least be interesting, like the Halloween reboots.
Sure.
And then I saw that they got Emma Tammy to direct it, which longtime listeners would know directed one of the first movies we fucking hated when we started this podcast, The Wind.
Oh, I remember.
Like, I saw that it was that, and I was like, oh, this is gonna fucking suck. They're gonna try to make this a trauma horror film. And they did! They made it a trauma horror
movie.
They
made it the worst kind of trauma horror film, where it's like this... like reactionary right wing trauma horror film, kind of, sort of. Like, I felt the presence of the 14 words behind behind the film. It's all about kind of like evil bitch old woman family member uses criminal crime to try to steal a little girl. It's very series of unfortunate events. It's very unserious.
I think the funniest thing about that is like the line where it's like, well, she just wants it because she wants the pension or whatever from the state, and it's like, she's so rich that she has a lawyer follow her around.
Literally.
I don't think she needs the extra $500 a month. Like, what? Like, girl, I could save you money. Don't bring your lawyer to dinner. You're paying like hoodlums to like stalk your nephew.
Yeah.
Just don't do that, and you'll have the exact same amount of money that you'd be getting from adopting this child.
I don't know. It's a lot. It's very unserious. It's very goofy.
Like, if they really wanted to do something like that, they could have at least made her motivations, like, more interesting.
Oh, yeah,
like,
no.
Maybe she's like, oh, like, she only wants her because she, like, is trying to get a movie developed based on, like, my missing brother case, but she needs a family member to sign off on it.
Yeah.
Like, some stupid thing where it's, like, she needs to have, like, legal authority over my sister in order to execute some stupid thing that'll, like, make her money. And it doesn't work because she doesn't have, like, legal right to me or my sister's story or so. Some stupid bullshit like that. But just absolutely, like, oh, I want to adopt her because I will make $500 extra a month or something. Like, I'll get a stipend.
Mm-hmm.
Or just don't have her. Like, just have it be that the risk is that, like, his sister's gonna get taken by social services because he's a bad guardian.
yeah, it's, I don't under, like, it spends, I don't understand the kind of lukewarm to positive reception that this film is getting, because it spends so much of its screen time on this, like, kind of, like, rote, like, again, highly unserious, like, not taking itself seriously, like, family drama situation that is just not interesting. And then, like, you get a little bit of the animatronics,
which I don't understand even further, because, like, apparently the, like, whole Five Nights series is just full of, like, bizarre family drama. Like, basically, from what I've gathered, like, every character is related to William Afton.
Yes.
This is all stupid family bullshit. Mm-hmm. Where, like, ah, dad's a serial killer and he sucks. That could have been a much more interesting film.
Yeah.
And that could have been an interesting film that, you know, plays to audiences that don't know anything about this series. Or just know that it's, like, yeah, it's, like, the thing that, like, my kids are really obsessed with. Because, like, I think that's why it's why I don't understand it, is that it's, like, I get it as, like, a roller coaster ride.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, everyone, like, you know, I get fans who are excited, but, like, whoa, all these references, Easter eggs, there's going to be so many YouTube videos about all of these things I missed. That, okay, we live in this era. That makes sense. But so much of the film is, like, just about the shit that is not from the games and also is boring and also is not about Five Nights at Freddy.
Yeah.
It's just, like, bog standard, like, bad horror drama.
Yeah, literally. Which, like,
It does give us the great scene of Vanessa just over the shoulder chucking Mike's meds into the river, like, so casually that it took me a second to realize what she threw into the canal. which did make our theater just start laughing, like, as everyone realized, wait, did she just, like, throw his prescription drugs into, like, a lake?
I hated her and, like, I didn't think they were good characters. They had no chemistry. I don't know. You know what? Yet another thing that makes me remember how fucking good Petscop is. That's my only in on, like, ARG style video game horror these days.
No, Petscop is next. Petscop, give that guy the Five Nights at Freddy's movie.
Yeah. I don't think he would want it, though. I feel like his story is, he told his story so well. You know what I mean? Like, how do you, I don't know. It makes me think a lot about the format of the film that you see in the Cinematheque and, like, what can even be done in movies that's gonna be better or more interesting than, because, like, I feel like the first Five Nights at Freddy's game is plenty interesting. Like, it's fine as is. The movie is just kind of, like,
the first game is jump scare Pac-Man.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's you learn the AI mechanics, like, you kind of try to intuit the patterns of these enemies so that you can avoid them. And if you fail, you get jump scared.
Right. Lots of reports out there on the internet about Freddy's showings being complete and total bedlam, people not really respecting the sanctity of the theater.
God, I wish we got that.
I wish we fucking got that. Thank you for saying that before I did.
I saw the fucking TikTok of, like, the kids just beating the shit out of each other in the front row, and I was like, God, I hope that's our theater.
Exactly. Like, that would have been so fun and interesting, because, like, a lot of people's complaints, I saw a TikTok where someone was like, yeah, people were talking the whole time, they were on their phones the whole time, no one was paying attention to the movie, and it's like, girl, not this one. This isn't Tar. Like, go buy a ticket for Titan. Buy a ticket for fucking Oppenheimer, I guess, bitch. Like, I would have loved to have a rowdier theater.
Yeah. No, I think the most we had is we had somebody dressed up like a character that wasn't even in this one.
Yeah, that's true. I think a lot of people were disappointed by that character not being present.
The marionette or whatever the fuck its name is.
Who fucking cares? Whatever. But, like, really the most that we got was, like, for some reason the kids behind me were inconsolable whenever the animatronics were on the screen. And it was, I'm talking about scenes where they were not doing anything, or it was just, like, really boring shit.
Yeah.
Although I kind of get it for the part where, like, they become friendly with the girl or whatever.
Yeah.
Which was a whole fucking weird part, but I guess kind of squares with the lore or something. Sort of.
I guess, because it's, like, technically they're just, not even, like, that they're possessed, but, like, technically they are, like, animatronics with, like, weird computer programming that makes them hang out with kids. Like, I think the lore of the series is that, like, initially the reason why they're trying to kill the security guard is because they think that you're the exoskeleton of a suit without the parts, like, the animatronic parts on it, so they're trying to stuff you into the torture machine that kills you and makes you an animatronic.
Right.
But also, I guess they're just assholes. I don't know. Like, I don't but like in theory, you know, they don't kill children. The kid gets his head crushed, in like an accident essentially, but that's the famous clip of Markiplier going like, "Is that the bite? Is that the bite of 87?"
No clue. Right over my head.
But like, yeah, like, you know, like, ostensibly they are animatronics that walked around and played with kids, so it makes sense that they would do that in the film.
Yeah, I guess.
Although my version of a thing I loved with the audience was in the scenes when they're all hanging out with the little girl, just hearing, like, two rows behind me, these, like, two teenagers are watching it, and just one of them just goes like, "What's going on?" And her friend going, "Oh, they're full of dead kids." And then her friend going, "Oh!" Like, that explains it.
I mean, it kind of does. You know, what else can you ask for with Five Night Fred?
Very funny to have the line where Vanessa's like, "He didn't just kill them, and their spirits aren't just trapped in the animatronics. Their bodies are, too." And it's like, okay, you delivered that in, like, the least, you delivered this in, like, a form of storytelling that makes that, like, actually less scary information.
Yeah.
Because, like, the whole horror of it, ostensibly, is that, you know, people complained that the animatronics smelled bad and that, like, weird stuff would be leaking from them. And then, like, there would be the reveal that it's like, oh, because there's, like, children's bodies inside of them. But you're, like, watching them playing around and frolic, and it's like, they're not just possessed. They also have dead children inside them. And it's just like, oh, okay, well, I guess that makes sense why they're possessing the animatronics. Like, really, all you did was just explain to me why these murdered children are possessing animatronics.
It is, like, I'm a little weirded out by the, like, goosebumpsy, are you afraid of the darky tone for, I don't know, I guess they looked at the numbers and they looked at the sheets and they said, like, oh, this is a game for 11 to 15 year old boys, so we have to talk down to them because they are teenagers. But, like, I don't know, I feel like when I was 11 to 15, like, the type of thing that I would eat up is, like, something that is just unapologetically, like, completely grimdark and horrifying and, like, not trying to be, like, funny or cute about it.
I think that's what's so weird about the tone that this film takes, because, like, we're living in kind of a, like, kind of a peak era of, like, children's horror. Yeah. And a lot of it is stupid and bad and, like, obviously pretty bloodless. So I guess the film's correct in that impulse, although that's just the Blumhouse PG-13 special.
Sure.
But, you know, like, kids like gross, nasty horror things now.
Yeah.
Like, all the big popular horror stuff is, like, not good, but it's, like, it's icky. The animatronics are all rotting and gross. That fucking video of the kid who's like, okay, guys, which one is your favorite? Bon Bon, Scary Boo,
Haggy Waggy.
Haggy Waggy. All of that shit is, like, air quotes, dark. Like, the big thing kids like right now is, like, horror where it's like, what if this thing was fucked up and twisted?
Yeah.
And, like, kind of ugly. I call it the creepsty cute aesthetic. Kids are really into the creepsty cute shit now. And this, like, is not. This is, like, very clean.
Yeah. Apart from the girl that gets, I guess, bitten in half, but even that's just, like, not even trying to be scary. It's just goofy.
Yeah. That's a great one, because it's, like, that's a great example of it being the Blumhouse PG-13, is that, like, they have her get killed in a way that's, like, nonsensical. Like, how did her whole body get pulled into that thing? But then also it's like she gets bit in half and it's completely bloodless and like there's no organs or anything. Her body just like they just like delete upper half body and it drops to the ground.
Very goofy, very silly. I gotta hand it to them for that.
But yeah, like I don't know why. I guess like the fandom is all about drawing them cuter. Although I've learned with Springtrap, the fucked up bunny thing that William Afton is, there's definitely like stark divides in the fandom about whether or not you draw him like cuter, or it's like, no, he has to be disgusting and awful.
Right.
That's why he's sexy.
a civil war, a divide in the fandom.
Because, like, his actual render has, like, you can see, like, William Afton's, like, fucked up gross body, like, in it.
Uh-huh.
Because he's, like, rotting inside of it, basically. The weird thing where they set the mechanics off and it, like, is crushing his guts and stuff, that is from the games. But it doesn't happen in modern times. It's like that's why William Afton was never caught, is because the ghosts like chased him and he got into the Springtrap soup to try to scare them and then like accidentally set the gears off and it killed him.
Right.
and you know, like his body was also never discovered like the other bodies.
Yeah, because it's rotting in the soup.
Yeah.
See, that's fun. I like bodies rotting in suits. I wish we got more of that.
Yeah, right? Well, the Blumhouse model worked. It was a $20 million budget and it made $149 million back. Did you read that article about the Blumhouse model that I sent you?
I can't remember. It's probably not.
It's the one that opens with the insane thing about how, like, basically part of his family's fortune comes from the fact that his dad bought the tomato can, like, the canned soup series from Andy Warhol because it was at a time when everyone was like, what the fuck is this bullshit? And then in the interview, he's like, my tomato soup can paintings is the Five Nights at Freddy's movie. Like, just some, like, insane quote about, he's like, I got the rights to it and invested in it, like, really early on, and now it's going to pay out in, like, a shit ton of money. And he was correct.
I guess that comparison of Scott Cawthon with Andy Warhol is disgusting and sickening, but, like, really true, where we have to only pick artists that are further and further away from the world of that, you know, we don't want to give money to anymore. And closer and closer to fucking white supremacist fascist fucking hog shit.
It's a good article, but though, because it makes me sad that Blumhouse has gotten so far into the fucking Halloween remake hole.
Mm-hmm.
Because his model is essentially he calls it, like, Jason Blum calls it, like, you're betting on yourself, where it's like he essentially gives them, he'll give them, like, a kind of low budget early on, and the sort of way it's done is, like, gives them a lot of creative control in exchange for, like, much, much higher royalty payouts. Mm-hmm. So the idea being is that You're not getting a lot of money, like, you know, I forget what there's, like, weird industry term stuff where basically you're not getting paid at, like, a higher rate that you normally would get paid at because you're getting paid more in royalties. And so the idea is that if you make a movie that, like, blows up and is a huge success, you get paid way more than if you were paid a standard amount. And if it does, like, okay, you'll just get paid, like, probably a normal amount in royalties. But the idea is that, like, you know, people making it are kind of invested in making their own movie. And if it's a huge success, it's a huge success. And if it's not, it's not. But that's why, like, all Blumhouse films are usually, like, decently low budget.
Yeah.
I think the Exorcist remake that they just did is, like, his highest budget one, and it's still, like, pretty low budget for, like, a modern film.
I see.
But the problem now is I feel like that studio system is moving into doing a lot of shit like this, and shit like the bad-looking Exorcist remake or the really annoying Halloween remakes.
Yeah. Yeah, I still gotta finish watching that Exorcist remake, actually. Holy fuck, that shit sucks.
I was gonna say, I was interested, but, like, man.
It's real, it's, like, really not good. It's, like, really, really, really not good.
I mean, and, like, the flip side of stuff like that with his style is that, you know, we also get Megan and, like, Insidious, which sucks, and The Purge, which is a great series. But he did also, like, he's the guy who put up the money for oh god, how am I blanking on the name? Get Out.
Yeah.
Like the flip side of that is, like, you know, the reason why a lot of, like, big influential horror has come out of Blumhouse is because he's more willing to just give guys, like, money and be like, yeah, fuck it, make this movie.
Go crazy.
Go crazy. Go stupid.
Go stupid. I can get into that. That's a smart little model of business there.
It does also lead to some of my favorite things, though, which is, like, the fact that they made a Fantasy Island horror film. Mm-hmm. Like, they just made a horror movie based on Fantasy Island, which is such a, like, bizarre, and it was, like, a PG-13 horror film, so it's like, what teenager knows what Fantasy Island is?
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
It was, you know, the like, the plane, boss, the plane.
Oh, ew.
Yeah, like that like, really shitty 70s, like, drama series where every episode is like, they're coming to this island to get, like, their dreams, whatever, blah 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 blah. They did a horror movie version of it, like, a couple years ago, and that was a Blumhouse joint.
That's insane. That's quite a lot.
You know what else he did that I forgot? Whiplash.
That's fucking right.
And Black Klansman. So like he mostly does horror, but like I forget that, like, yeah, sometimes he'll just be like, fuck it, here's some money.
I don't know. I guess the thing to really contend with and accept with this film is that I'm getting old. I've been having all sorts of problems with my body now all of a sudden.
Imodium and ibuprofen are just great. I don't want to stop eating spicy food.
Yeah,
I want to get Taco Bell sometimes.
Well, I'm now at an age where it's like I don't really want to alter my diet too much either, so I am realizing that I have to actually take the Lactaid, and I can't just like take it on the chin anymore and just be like, "Oh, I guess I'm going to be on the toilet tomorrow." Ho ho, when it's like the stakes aren't that small anymore.
Yeah, no, yoga's great.
Oh my god, yoga.
Good low impact, keeps you limber, so that way you're not as achy all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to clear out some space. I need to get my little yoga space going. I've been doing, okay, vagus nerve exercises. Have you heard about this?
No, what are those?
Okay, so, here's just a quick one. Put your right hand on the top of your head. Okay. And then use that to tilt your head to the right so that it's, so that your ear is facing the ground, but the rest of your body is normal sitting position.
Okay.
And then with your eyes, just your eyes, look all the way to the left, which should be up. And then keep your eyes looking to the left, which should slash up. For about like 30 to 60 seconds, however long you feel like holding it, and just keep breathing through it. And then you might feel like a yawn or like just some sort of release. But I do that to like lower my cortisol levels before bed, because lately I can't get more than 3 to 5 hours a night.
And it, yeah, good tip here, get a good sun lamp and a good Bluetooth outlet and set it to go off anywhere between 5 to 20 minutes before your alarm or before you want to get up, because then it's like you're waking up with the sun. Oh. Helps a lot for a circadian rhythm.
I see.
Very important in this time of year when we get less sunlight.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's definitely adjusting to the season in a very sort of crustier than usual way. Melatonin in my tea. Melatonin is good.
Ooh, did you just like crush it up in there?
No, I just bought the tea with the melatonin in it. I'm too lazy for all that nonsense.
Honestly, even just chamomile is great.
Yeah, chamomile is great. It's very loosening. I've been running a little bit too. That kind of gets my energy out. Keeps me limber, keeps me moving. FODMAP. You heard about FODMAP?
Yeah. That was a thing that my doctors considered making me go on when they were trying to figure out why my body was freaking out.
My doctor just put me on FODMAP.
I'm so sorry. I looked at the list of things I can't eat, and I was like, fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to try to do my best. We're going to wean our way towards the FODMAP way of life. I do like a nut and a seed, or rather, I don't know, like peanuts, I'm already doing, eggs, I like tofu, I like, I don't know. It shouldn't be too hard, right? Stay away from bread.
Uh, good luck.
Oh boy. What were we talking about?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either.
Something that the kids are doing these days.
Oh yeah, some Zoomer
maybe it was like Polly's Playfield or whatever the fuck it's called.
Who is
Polly's Pocket?
Littlest Pet Shop? Is that what it was?
Was it?
Man, my memory ain't what it used to be.
Yeah.
It was Oh, Willy's Wonderland. That's what we were talking about.
Oh god, that movie fucking sucks.
Yeah, piece of shit. Ugh, fucking ugh.
Why didn't I just don't understand why they didn't at least use like real animatronics?
Yeah. CGI or, like, garbage. Puppets.
Yeah.
And stunt casting. Can we talk about how stupid stunt casting is?
God, I'm so over stunt casting. Oh my god, we get it. How are you taking such an iconic actor and making him into a fucking joke?
I know. Leave him alone. Ugh. Well, I feel better. I feel like I talked out all my problems today. Willy's Wonderland, fucking whatever else. Now I'm gonna go to bed.
Yeah.
I'm just
take a nice 2 p.m. nap. Hey, that's the best part about getting old. Yeah. Naps are back.
Yeah, a little warm drink, a little with a little nap time. Feels great. Do you have a blanket? I'll just kinda conk out right here.
Yeah. Here.
All right. Now get out of your office.
All right. I'm gonna turn the light out.
Okay. All right. Good night. Wait. Leave the night light on.
Okay. Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.